what the fuck was Lindsay Lohan doing in this movie? Was she there to make me fucking just vomit? Like, seriously, she's in it for nothing. And I'm sitting there watching it and I'm just like, my God, Lindsay Lohan, you look so fucking gross. I'm going to vomit everywhere and I totally just want to vomit in your face.
They called him Machete. $70 a day for yard work. $100 for roofing.
Get in.
$125 for septic.
Have you ever killed anyone before? As you know, illegal Americans are being forced out of our country at an alarming rate for the good of both our people. The senator must die.
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse.
Make no mistake, we are at war. Every time an illegal dances across our border, it is an act of aggression against this sovereign state, an overt act of terrorism.
Set up, double cross, and left foot dead.
You think what you do is right? Taking your brothers and sisters in? Deporting them back to their own personal hells? It's a law. There are many laws.
You want me to help you kill all these men?
Yes, bro.
I'll see what I can do. He's coming after us.
He knows the score. He gets the women.
There's nothing I'd like more than to see that Mexican dance the bolero at the end of the rope.
And he kills the bad guys.
We didn't cross the border! The border crossed us!
Well, this cucaracha's got AK-47s and he's laying waste everything that gets in his fucking path.
But they soon realized they just fucked with the wrong Mexican. Machete.
Okay, this is the Super Podcast and I can't stop laughing. This is the very special episode 40. I don't know why it's special, but it is. And I'll get right into it. We don't really have, like, we don't have a specific topic, so we'll just, like, talk and stuff. I'll introduce my lovely guests. First, I'll introduce the terrible Australian, Bede. Hello, Bede.
Hi, Marcy. How are you?
Oh, hi, Bede.
Oh, hi, Marcy.
I'm doing okay. I have a really bad allergy on my feet, which is not very good. I thought I'd share that with the world. I had an allergic reaction to Band-Aids, and now I've got a really bad, like, reaction.
I get those too sometimes with the certain type of Band-Aids, but I'm not going into that.
Yeah, I just thought I'd be gross and tell everybody.
You're not supposed to put them on there. You're not supposed to put them there.
No, I like these, like the elastic
one. It cuts off the blood flow, you know?
Anyway.
Blood flow. I know that some people actually think that's beneficial, but it actually turns gangrene after a while, you know?
Ew. I think that our other guest has established himself as a bad Canadian.
What about bad Canadian?
I don't know. But anyway, Bede has to give us a reason why he's terrible for this episode, and I hope he has a good, valid reason.
I actually have a really good...
Stop talking all at once. Bede, the floor is yours.
Now, I know you haven't been away, Marcy, since you went away to a wedding over in the US, and I have the perfect one for this week because it actually has a wedding in it. Okay. I'm a terrible Australian. Because I have seen Ghosts of Girlfriends Past starring Matthew McConaughey.
Ew. I haven't seen it and I don't want to see it and I don't know why you would subject yourself to watching that crap.
Sometimes I wonder too.
Yeah, I really gotta wonder about you. Anyway, I'll probably introduce the other two guests who both happen to be Canadian. So it's like the Australians versus Canadians. We've got coming back after, I don't know, can't remember the last time that he was on the podcast, Mr. Pat. And I don't want to say your last name because I'll mess it up.
Just say P to the A to the double T. That was so bad, I know.
Just a bit. That's why you're now the bad Canadian.
It's the P-A-double-T.
Anyway, welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back.
I should hope so.
Wow.
And also on the podcast is Nick, the man with a billion zillion names.
Sexiest one of all. Silent.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Expecting a better... Oh, damn it. I'm going to have to go to my Dobby voice and, you know, start, acknowledging...
Oh, you're the sexiest dude on the...
Friends nor paramedics.
I'm a guy. I'm not allowed to call... I'm a guy, so I'm not allowed to call other guys sexy, so I'm not allowed to...
You are allowed to call other guys sexy. Yes. You just don't indeed have to
you will
mean
call
it.
Me sexy from now on. You call me hot chocolate.
No, I don't think I'll even call you that.
Canadian bacon.
Canadian bacon.
There you go. That's it. That's it.
Okay.
Canadian bacon.
We'll now call Nick without Canadian bacon. All right. So.
And I am very happy to be here. I love the mercy and glad to hear you're back.
Yes. Okay. This is working so well because, you know, I haven't been around for a little while. Because I did go away for a wedding. And I had a nice trip, in case you were wondering. And we'll just...
I just have to point out that if any of you guys have Marcy on your Facebook page and you look at her, you know, pictures that she took from her trip, that wax museum is like... Yeah.
I know that you wanted me to steal the Joker wax figure for you.
That wax museum was like the scariest thing ever.
I went to two different ones. One was like a cheap version, and then the other one was Madame Tussauds.
I love
Madame Tussauds. Which one was the theme version where they had the Joker cleverly disguised as a homeless person?
I think it was a homeless person disguised as the Joker.
No, I'm pretty sure it was a homeless... No, I'm pretty sure it was the Joker... size of the homeless person.
Okay.
Because that was terrible. It's like,
well, just don't look at his face and I think you'll be right. I think. But anyway.
I like the one with you and Robert Pattinson or whatever the figure's name is.
Yeah, me and R. Pats.
Usually
is that Robert Pattinson?
Yeah. You see, I had to take it because, you know, I hate Twilight and all that. All the rest. It was ironic, so...
You should have been posing, like punching him
in the face. Honest afterthought.
Huh? Say that again. Hello.
I said at least his face doesn't look like it was glued on as an afterthought, not like the other pictures that he had up there.
Yeah. Well, the only
Something wrong with that head.
I think the only wax figure I was attempting to punch was Mel Gibson. For obvious reasons.
Why? The Road Warrior.
What's wrong with Mel?
Because he's like crazy and I didn't want him to like beat me up.
But he's a fellow Aussie.
No.
Get up a fellow Aussie.
He's not
That's
really an
Oksana.
Aussie. I don't know. I guess it's controversial what he is. But anyway.
He just wanted to go to the sauna with Oksana.
She's a crazy bitch.
What?
Anyway.
What?
I'm almost up to 1 million views on my Bale and Gibson rant. I can't wait. 1 million views.
No. No.
No.
You're an ass. Anyway, we'll go into our first topic of conversation, which is amazing that it's taken us this long to get there. But we're going to talk about movies that we've seen recently. And I'll start with Bede because I like to pick on him. And he can tell us about some of the movies that he's seen recently.
All right. One movie I actually have seen, I actually watched a lot of good movies recently, some great, great films. And one I had, actually, I finished it this morning before I had a chance to come on the podcast, and that is In Cold Blood. Has anyone seen that?
Is that the, like, the 60s movie?
Yes, the one that was based on the novel by Truman Capote.
Yeah, what's the dude that's in it? What's his name?
Robert Blake.
That's the one.
The irony of it all.
I did see that a long, long time ago, that movie. I watched that after Capote came out, obviously.
I had never seen it because I've seen both. I've seen both Capote and Infamous since, you know, they're both based on
the exact same story. Yeah.
And I've been meaning to want to check out In Cold Blood for some time, and then it just finally came up on TV, so I had a chance to watch it. And, yeah, it's quite a brilliant film and very intense. And Robert Blake, he's, despite the irony that he's playing a killer in the movie, but he's actually quite excellent in the film. And it's just overall just a really fantastic thriller, and I wasn't disappointed, and it's just good stuff.
Yeah, it's really good.
What are you insinuating, B, that he says that you say he plays a good killer? What are you insinuating?
Well, you know, the obvious.
Who is Robert Blake? Robert Blake's a good guy.
Yeah, well, I'm not, that's... I'm not going there.
That was for the courts to decide.
That's the courts to decide, yeah, so...
What's his name? Like Norm MacDonald said it on SNL, so therefore I have to believe it.
and Norm MacDonald is Canadian, so we have to believe fellow Canadians.
Exactly.
Even when they're lying.
No matter how retarded they may be.
Exactly.
Okay. What else have you seen?
Oh, wait, I used the R word. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I apologize. You can't say that.
The audience.
It's differently abled, put it that way. It's differently abled.
Yeah. Okay.
No, what? Michael Rich.
What else have you seen, Bede?
Well, actually, for the last couple of weeks, I've been going on a Hayao Miyazaki marathon. Hayao Miyazaki is the...
Well, that's what it sounded like you said. You're butchering the poor man's
very
name.
Very insulting.
That's how he's pronounced. This podcast has already gone downhill.
It's the most retarded podcast, but it has to be for the 40th edition. I'm sorry, it's differently
abled.
We've been
abled. Away for a while, so.
It's differently abled, sorry.
Oh, man.
But anyway, tell us about Miyazaki.
And I've been going on a bit of a marathon in his films because on OzStar, which is the cable channel that we have here in Australia, they've been showing a lot of his, most of his filmography on television, so I've been trying to catch up with it because I've seen Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle a couple of years ago, which I thought were both terrific films, and I've been meaning to check out the rest of his films, and this was just a good chance to check them out, and every single one is just great. Like, the ones I did check out were Nasuke of the Valley of the Winds, which is completely awesome, and also probably his masterpiece, Princess Mononoke, which I highly recommend everyone should check out. It's just amazing. And what other ones? Also, his more sort of kid-friendly ones, like Kiki's Delivery Service, My Neighbor Totoro, and also Porco Rosso, and finally, his most recent film, Ponyo, which is probably, without a doubt, the cutest movie of all time.
That movie looks like you need to be high on drugs to watch it.
Oh, you don't have to be high on drugs. It's just like, if there was like a definition of the word adorable, it would be this movie. And it's...
You're not the first person I've heard that from.
Yeah, I know. And I've just fallen in love with the guy's work. I think he's an amazing filmmaker.
Have you seen Lupin the Third, the Castle of Caligostro?
I haven't seen that one yet.
That's pretty awesome.
That's funny because that's the only one they didn't show.
What assholes! That's pretty cool.
I'll have to track that one down at some point, but
definitely, it's pretty cool.
But I definitely recommend everyone to check out all his films, especially like I said, Princess Mononoke. That was just amazing. It just blew me away, and it's definitely his most adult film, and as well as his most violent film.
Yeah, I think it was Matches or something. was going on about Princess Mononoke. I don't know if Kopka was going on about it as well, but it was on one of their podcasts.
Yeah, that was the podcast I heard. And
yeah.
Max was talking about it, how much he loved it. And I agree, it's an amazing film and everyone should definitely check that out. Actually, like I said, everyone should check out all his movies and especially My Neighbor Totoro. And that was just a fantastic film as well.
Cool. Is there anything
I definitely got to see. I got to see more of them.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. Definitely worth it. Although it's funny though, I'm looking because when I saw Nasuke of the Valley of the Wind, and I was after I watched that, I went to the Wikipedia page, and I was checking it out, and they like when the movie was originally released in the US, they changed the title and they cut the hell out of it, like they cut like 30 minutes out of it, and they changed the title to Warriors of the Wind, and and they actually had the video cover of the movie. If you go to Wikipedia, you'll find it. And the video cover, none of the things that feature on the video, most of the things that are featured on the cover aren't actually in the movie. Like, for example, there's a guy riding a unicorn. There's like a guy riding a unicorn.
It's not Neil Patrick Harris?
No, but it's not even in the movie. And after that, there's a story that after that, Hayao Miyazaki, he decided if any of his films were going to be released in the US, they have to be the uncut. And he actually has that in a contract that, to any studio that they have to be released in their full uncut versions. And funny enough, when Princess Mononoke was going to be released in the US, Harvey Weinstein, whose company was distributing the film, they were going to cut it down to make it more accessible to younger viewers. And then Hayao Miyazaki sent something to him in the mail. And he opened up the package, and it was a samurai sword, or I think it might have been a samurai sword or a katana, I can't remember, but it was one of those, and it just had a simple note that came with it that said, no cuts. And after that, Weinstein was like, okay, we'll release the movie uncut.
One way to get your point across.
Exactly. So that means...
call the cops and say this guy's a fucking nut job.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's right. Don't fuck with Miyazaki, man.
Yeah, pretty much. Is there anything else you're saying?
Takashi Miike instead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think you'd want to fuck with him either.
No, exactly.
Wow. He would just fuck with you back.
He scares me, but yeah. Have you seen anything else worth mentioning?
I've seen a lot of movies. I'll mention one more, and then I might go into some more later on. Another one I've seen is, has anyone seen Les Diaboliques? Or Les Diaboliques?
Les Boss.
The Les Diaboliques.
No.
It's a 1950s French psychological thriller, and once I saw it's
not
about
for a long
time.
Two
with it's set at a boys' school, and it's about a married woman, and it was about the headmaster, and he's like. Who's married, but he also has a mistress, and him, like, both the mistress and his wife conspire to murder him. So they join together, decide to murder him, and from there, it goes into these really cool, really intense psychological areas. It was actually remade in the 90s as Diabolical with Sharon Stone, and it's...
Yeah. So,
that's a Sharon Stone, Diabolical, yeah, that's a good match.
It's one of those, it's a great psychological thriller that everyone should definitely check out.
It's got a pretty cool, like, twist ending.
Yeah, it has a really cool twist there. It's one of those things I don't want to
spoil,
say too much about, because, like, all you need to know is wife and mistress conspire to murder husband, and after that, that's all I'm going to say. So,
and
it's,
you know,
J.J.
Abrams was in the remake with Sharon Stone.
Was he?
Yeah, he played video photographer number 2. Just for the record.
Well, I've never seen it, so I haven't seen Diabolical, so I probably might have to check it out at some point, but it's not going to be as good as Les Diaboliques, and it's an amazing film. Everyone should definitely check it out.
All right. Well, I'll go to me, and I'll talk about what I've seen recently. I'll start with...
Aren't you special?
Yes, I'm special. I'll start with, I just want to briefly mention this movie because I'm definitely going to be talking about it more on a future podcast, but I checked out the new big controversial movie, a Serbian film, and I have to say it's been so exaggerated. Like, you know, I was expecting something so much worse, and I'm just sitting there going, okay, that's it. Certain specific scenes just look so freaking fake, and they're just, it's pretty dumb. Like, some of it's good, but, it's called A Serbian Film, which is actually supposed to be a pretty bad translation. It's basically the filmmaker saying, fuck you to Serbia. That's pretty much the message the film gives. But, yeah I can't really recommend it, so.
Yeah, don't even, like, I went to the Wikipedia page, like, after I heard it, it pretty much destroyed me after I read what the movie was about after, like, just the shit that happens in that movie.
It is, like, disturbing what it's about, but it just doesn't come off as, you know, specific scenes I'm sitting there going, this is so stupid. Like, it doesn't, I don't know, it's just, yeah. It just ends up being dumb. But the thing is, like, it's really good acting in it. Well, it's really got really good acting in it, and it doesn't look cheap. However, a certain scene just looks really stupid and doesn't work. But anyway, I did see that film.
Not the ending, is it?
No. The specific scene that gets talked about is, like, in the middle of the movie.
Oh, that movie. I mean,
But anyway. Yeah,
when I heard about that scene, that it just made me, I was like, nah, I'm never going to watch this movie, even though, like you say, it's dumb and it's, I think, is it more, what's the word?
It's supposed to disturb you, but you're just there going, this is stupid, as if this would ever really happen, and it looks so fake.
Mm.
And it's just like, yeah, whatever.
No surprise there.
Mm. But anyway, I'll move right along. I finally watched a film that I hadn't seen and I'd wanted to see, but I just didn't get around to seeing until I was on the plane ride home, and that was The Aviator. Have you guys seen it?
Yep.
Yep.
What movie?
The Aviator.
No, I haven't. It's with Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah, it's the Howard Hughes biopic.
Terrific film.
I actually thought it was really good.
Yeah, it's probably not the best movie to watch on an airplane, considering he, like, has a freaking plane crash in the middle of the movie, and it's very all about flying, but, yeah, it was pretty good. It's a bit long, but then again, Scorsese's films are not short.
No.
Leo was really, really good in it, and Cate Blanchett definitely deserved her Oscar for playing Katharine Hepburn.
I agree.
You know, no matter what role she plays, she's always hot. I can't explain it. No matter how manly she goes or how feminine she goes, it's just ridiculous. But she was so amazing in that role.
She was absolutely really good.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I finally saw that, which was, as we said, really, really good. I don't know why I didn't see it till now, but yeah.
Brent Spiner's in it.
I know, I laughed. I'm like, how did Brent Spiner get into a Scorsese movie?
Because he's awesome.
It's so odd.
He's better.
I also, like, coming back on the plane, I also watched She's Out of My League, which I didn't really think was going to be any good, just judging from the trailers and stuff, but I actually really liked it, and I thought it was pretty funny.
I thought it was good, too.
I forgot the name of the dude in it. I thought he was pretty good.
Jay Baruchel.
Yeah, that's the
Jay
one.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was pretty funny. Like, you know, just being such a dork, you can totally relate to that guy's character and just being, you know, so blown away that someone hot is actually, like, talking to you and stuff. So
yeah, especially when he doesn't have money.
Yeah.
I would too.
A lot of people were saying it was really bad, but I don't think it was bad. I thought it was pretty
funny. Bad. I just think some people found it completely unrealistic.
Yeah, but it's not
like
really.
It goes against human nature.
It's not really because, you know, there are a lot of, like, hot people that are with people that aren't so hot. So,
Yeah, but how many? So. Yeah.
You know, there's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, that's Beauty and the Beast, and he's probably got some assets that, that on the plane. Know, she probably enjoys.
Yes, they showed that on the plane.
Beauty and the Beast.
I love it.
Anyway, I rewatched American Beauty on the plane, and that film just completely reminded me why I love movies so much, because I think it's just the perfect film. And
he's a genius, that Kevin Spacey.
Oh, he really is. I just can't say enough good things about that movie, but it's also like you look back on it and you're like, what happened to everybody? Like, Wes Bentley ended up being the bad guy in Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Seriously? And, I mean, I know Pat loves it, but...
What's her face? Bora Birch was like a wrestler in Train.
Yeah.
Nina Suvari, her career went nowhere.
She was in, like, the Day of the Dead remake.
Well, yeah, which was absolute garbage.
Well, she made that movie
start... It works better when you're drunk.
I actually, like, it's a bad movie, but it's actually kind of watchable in some kind of really bad way. I don't know. Maybe
it's because
I got, like, a soft spot for zombie movies, so, it, you know, maybe that's probably why.
Mm. Anyway, I'm just trying to remember, like, the other stuff that I watched. I watched, was it called Date Night? On the Way Over, the Steve Carell, Tina Fey movie, which I thought was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
It had its moments. It had some funny cameos from, like, James Franco and...
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis, I can't say her name. And Mark Wahlberg without a shirt on is always good. Can't complain as a female.
Just give me Tina and I'm good.
So, yeah, there was that. And... While I was away, I watched Adventureland, which I completely loved, and I didn't think that I would.
Hated that movie. I not explain it.
Really?
I thought it was terrific.
You want to know something? I saw it, and I was expecting more comedy. There was too much bullshit between Eisenberg and Stewart. I was getting so bored by their relationship crap. There was not enough Bill Hader. There was not enough Kristen Wiig. It's just, I don't know. I didn't think it was funny enough.
I think it was more of a dramedy than a comedy. I think it's meant to be just about that stage the director or whatever based it on that time in his life. And I think that's what it was meant to be.
I mean, there were some extremely funny moments, and I thought the acting was great. It's just the relationship thing was just getting a little old and stale. And I mean, I thought Ryan Reynolds was great as well, but it just, like most movies do, it just advertised it completely wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it was a drama.
Yeah.
It wasn't super bad or something.
Super bad in an amusement park.
Yeah, it wasn't that at all. But I have to say, when you take Kristen Stewart out of anything Twilight related, she's actually a pretty decent actress. And I thought she was pretty good in this, and she actually, like, could emote a little bit.
Her best role will always be Panic Room.
I haven't seen that for a long time. Another movie I watched, and I know that Pat knows about this movie because he had to review it for... the DVD clinic, and I can't even think of what the title was called. The DVD pub. What was
the DVD clinic?
Oh, sorry, the DVD pub.
Clinic is on Joe Blow.
The clinic is the other one. Stuff. Sorry, you can like slap me across the face.
Well, gee.
Now I forgot the name of the movie. It had was it The Cry of the Something with Julia Stiles?
Cry of the Owl.
Yeah, and. Patty
that must have been direct to DVD.
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty shitty.
DVD. It was not very good.
It was pretty shitty. Like it tried
what
to be.
To Julia Stiles.
Oh, who knows?
The same thing that happened to well, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Stars. Yeah, whatever.
The movie kind of like it promotes it to be one thing, but it's so not that, and it gets really stupid, and it's like, what the fuck. Cannot recommend it at all.
I mean, Julia Stiles was good. Was good to a point, but Patty Constantine, I know that you'd say something different about Patty. I say that he's probably, like, I don't know, I would say that he plays the cowardly guy to almost too well. I mean, it's kind of like you want to feel sorry for the guy, but it's like, is this guy supposed to be the main character?
Yeah, you can't really, like, get behind his character, even though all this bad stuff's happening. He just is a bit of a douche. But then again, like, pretty much all the characters in the movie are a douche.
Well, yeah, Julia's style is like, okay, yeah, I see you stalking me. Yeah, I'm going to stalk you.
Yeah, it's really just dumb. So, yeah, pass on that movie. And the last two movies that I saw, there's other movies, but I'll discuss them at the end of the podcast. I watched The Last Exorcism, which I'd been hearing some really bad things about, especially about the ending, but I actually thought the movie was pretty good. And
I keep hearing, like, mixed, like, a lot of people love the ending, and a lot of people hated it. Hated it, I know that.
I didn't mind the ending. Like, thinking about it, it kind of all made sense. So, I don't know, I liked the movie.
Like, I haven't seen it yet, but just tell me this. Is it a CGI thing that ruins it?
No. It's just the direction of where it goes in regards to, like, religion and the exorcism and what's going on sort of thing. But it's actually, like, it's the documentary style suits the movie. And the acting in it is pretty good. Like, from the main dude that plays the reverend, I forgot his name, and the chick that's, like, the possessed one, she's pretty good as well. And
these studios, man, they're going to start milking this format, this documentary.
Yeah, seriously, it does get tired, but I'll say this. Okay. Like,
point. Guess what comes out in not too long of time, October 22nd. It's the sequel to Marcy's favorite film.
Yes.
Paranormal Activity 2.
Yeah. Which is going to be shit.
I'm curious because somebody put up on a movie board like stop freeze some moments from the trailer, and just looking at them, they're actually quite interesting. And one actually really creeped me out from, I think it was from one of the viral trailers.
Yeah, but you're scared from, like, powder, so.
Shut up, Marcy.
Powder scared you?
Oh. I'm a clean freak, so
it's not because Victor Salva is kind of like was convicted of like being a pedophile, was it?
Yeah, that is scary, but you know
that actually is a scary thought. Like, what freaked you out, Bede, from the trailer?
Yeah, please enlighten us.
I'd have to show the picture, and I might show it to you guys a bit later because you know the listening audience won't be able to. It's not like it's creepy; it just sort of looks. I don't know. It just looks weird. Not weird in a good way. It's like, what the fuck is that? kind of reaction from me.
Well, I like all the bone cracking and all that shit. But like, I like the fact that, you know, at one point, she, you know, from what I saw from the trailer, she picks up the camera and she's starting, you know, filming her own little sessions with it. And I don't know if that's what happens during the actual movie or and, if that's...
You know, Marcy, I think you might actually like this movie because it actually fixes up a problem you actually had with the first film. Is like
there's no Micah? No,
well, other than Micah, but there's like multiple... seems to like there's multiple cameras everywhere. Mm. Like they had one of... had a shot of outside and then inside in that baby's room and all that.
Mm.
So who knows? I reckon it's going to be your favorite movie of this year.
Yeah, well, I got to say, The Last Exorcism was a hell of a lot more believable than Paranormal Activity.
You only love it
because your girl, boyfriend. You just...
So what?
You only love it because your boyfriend Eli Roth was involved.
Oh, yeah, that was so it. Totally. Just seeing his name on the poster turned me on. I'm like so gonna write him a letter and say, oh my god, seeing your name on the poster was such a turn on. That's the whole reason why I love the movie.
I made sure to post it on my Twitter. It's like, hey Eli, listen to this. It's like, Marcy thinks you're hot.
Yeah, he's going to hear that and he's going to be so excited. It's
awesome and he'll retweet it.
Yeah, I'm so going to write to him. And just
you
say,
like the bear Jew?
Oh, yeah. Especially when he, like, smacks people's heads in with his baseball bat.
Yeah, I like watching him smack people's heads in. It's when he opens his mouth that it kills it. Yeah, well, you knocked us out of the park. Yeah, you're next.
I could make a comment about him opening his mouth and stuff, but
okay,
I won't go there.
We're going to stop it right there.
Anyway.
Let's reserve that for fan fiction.
Yeah, I'm going to send him my fan fiction. It's actually, like, a bit dirty, but anyway. Moving on. Okay, the last movie I'm going to talk about before I, like, hand it over to you Canadians. I watched Machete, whatever the fuck they want to call it, and...
Machete, don't text.
Yeah, I kind of was pretty disappointed by the movie. Yeah.
I had a fucking blast.
Yeah, I preferred the actual original fake trailer over the actual movie. And we're watching the fake trailer. They so missed out on putting stuff in there. But anyway,
they included everything from the trailer. I don't understand where that complaint comes from.
They didn't. Where was the scene where he, like, had the jacket full of, like, machetes? That wasn't in there.
That's like, well, that's like what they did with Predators, is, like, have that, you know, that shot of Adrian Brody?
That wasn't in there.
Yeah, that's just like a trailer moment. That's the trailer moment.
After fight.
Huh?
Yeah. Even Rodriguez, like, he admitted, he said, yeah, that was a suck-you-in type shot.
But, yeah, I don't know. The movie was, like, alright and stuff, but it just, like, wasn't what I thought it would be. And seriously, like, what the fuck was Lindsay Lohan doing in this movie? Was she there to make me fucking just vomit? Like, seriously, she's in it for nothing. And I'm sitting there watching it and I'm just like, my God, Lindsay Lohan, you look so fucking gross. I'm going to vomit everywhere and I totally just want to vomit in your face. That's how much you disgust me.
I don't quite understand. Like, she's not in the movie long enough to ruin it. Her character is completely useless. There's nothing to it, but I don't see how she ruins the movie.
She didn't ruin it. What's the point of having her in there? There's too many characters.
I don't know.
Maybe there's a director's, like, an extended cut at
the
some
The action
point.
And stuff in it was pretty good.
Probably.
Like, the intestine scene was awesome. That was so cool.
Don't spoil it.
It's in the Red Band trailer.
It's in the trailer. There's no spoilers.
Well, yeah, that's right.
I don't
want to
know.
I don't know. Jessica Alba was fucking awful, beyond awful in this movie.
She's a horrible actress. Her inspirational speech to all the Mexican workers was one of the funniest fucking things I've ever heard in my life.
It's so cringeworthy. And it's like, dude, do you even know what sort of movie you're in? Fucking hell.
That border crap. I mean, I'm sure it was supposed to be over the top on purpose, but I'm going to give Robert Rodriguez the benefit of the doubt.
I think she took it too seriously.
I think that's, like, from what I hear, that's actually, like, read somewhere, and I think that's, I haven't seen the movie, but I think that's kind of funny. She's the only one who seems to be taking it seriously while everyone's just, you know, having a laugh about it, and that to me makes it funny. It's kind of like Chiwetel Ejiofor in 2012. He actually took that role much more seriously than anyone else in the movie.
Like, I think one of the really hilarious things, and I don't know if it entirely worked, was Steven Seagal playing a freaking Mexican.
Fat Mexican.
Seriously, it was just weird.
Well, it's about the same as him playing a New York Italian, you know?
It's like Jean Reno playing, New York Italian or, you know.
Yeah, because that so makes sense. But anyway.
Michelle Rodriguez, baby. It's all about Michelle.
That's pretty much the best things about the movie is her and Jeff Fahey. Is that his name?
Oh, my God. He was such a great villain in that. That fucking guy does not get enough work.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome.
The Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome. And Michelle Rodriguez, especially at the end, is smoking hot.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Emerging with the eye patch and the... Oh. That was it
I'm
for
thinking,
me.
She does fancy, like, chicks, so maybe I'd have a chance.
At that point, I was like, Alba who?
Mm.
Like, seriously, I think everybody is so sick of Alba. I don't know. It just seems like nobody likes her anymore, no matter what she does.
Well, if you don't like her and you want to see something bad happen to her, watch The Killer Inside Me. That should satisfy everything.
I have almost no interest in seeing that. I got to be completely honest. It looks so boring. And I've heard from so many people saying, like, it's been overhyped unbelievably. The only reason people are talking about it is because it's disturbing or whatever.
It's overhyped and whatnot, but I thought it was a good movie. I didn't think it was boring.
And I'm not a big fan of Casey Affleck, so.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of his, no point in watching the movie.
I don't get him. I just think he's a boring... I think he's just as bland... Like, he was what Ben Affleck was 10 years ago. Like, Ben has turned into, and you know, like, I don't know. He's just bland to me. Even in Gone Baby Gone, and I don't know. I just don't get him. I don't get the hype about him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this will be better. So I'll see it, but I don't know. Mm.
Anyway. Time will tell. Yeah, Machete was okay, but it was a bit of a letdown for me. Anyway. There was Robert De Niro and... I don't know. He's kind of weird being in this kind of movie.
He was having a blast. You know, I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah, you could tell that he enjoyed doing it, and you can just see that's why he decided to do it. He wanted to have fun. So,
yeah. Well, the thing that annoyed me about it was that Chris Cooper turned down the role that Robert De Niro had, and it's just. I really hate it when these actors take themselves so seriously. It's like, I'm not going to play this because it's like beneath me. It's like, get over yourself, man. I mean, it's a movie. You're playing. It just drives me nuts when actors do this. It's like, I'm not playing that. It's so stupid. It's like, that's the whole idea.
That one of my favorites was, there's something like that. You guys have seen. Have you guys seen Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Yes. I own it.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the faves. Like, the role that originally went to Shannon Elizabeth was actually supposed to be played by Heather Graham. And, like, they gave her the script, and she's like, I'm not fucking doing it. How the fuck can you possibly expect the audience to believe that a woman could actually fall in love with Jay? I'm like, that's not the point, Heather.
Well,
that's
she does have part of a point.
Well, she does have kind of a point, but that's the comedy, that a woman... like that could actually fall in love with Jay. That's what's funny. And it's like, come on, just get the... It's just like what Pat said, get the fuck over yourself and just do something fun.
Well, it's like,
but she's hot, so I forgive her.
It goes back to like what happened with Team America, World Police. I mean, I can't remember which. I know that... George Clooney wanted to play George Clooney in that, but it was just the whole, like, they got the idea of, like, okay, we're basically making a parody of ourselves and everything like that. I can get that. I can get behind that. You know, actors that don't take themselves so seriously.
Alec Baldwin tried to play himself as
Alec
well.
Alec Baldwin, yes, that's another one. He wanted to play himself, but, he just
his
came
agent
in.
Told him no.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. It's like, in the movie, it's like, come on. When you have Michael Moore exploding into, like, ham and cheese sandwiches or whatever the hell he exploded into, it's like, you
love that
movie. Kidding.
Anyway.
On that note,
I'll ask Pat what he's seen recently that he would like to discuss on the podcast.
Well, thanks, Marcy. Basically, I haven't been seeing a heck of a lot, seeing as I'm kind of in between jobs at the moment. But new films that I have seen are mostly the ones that I had the privilege of seeing from the DVD pub.
Yes, the pub, not the clinic. Slap.
Yes, the pub, not the clinic. Yes. The pub is where you go after the clinic, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Depending on if you've had too much of the pub.
It's a DVD review website. There you go.
Yeah, put it that way. Let's see. Well, I think that's probably one that sticks out the most, and for probably the wrong reasons, was Escape from New York on Blu-ray. Now, I loved the film. I love John Carpenter's stuff. I loved Kurt Russell in that movie. I mean, it's like,
I was trying to. Kurt Russell! I mean, the whole, sorry.
I know.
Marcy just had an orgasm.
I so did.
Yes, indeed.
It's Kurt Russell, baby.
But I mean, Kurt Russell, I mean, like, this was, he was trying to break out of the whole Disney comedy thing, and this pretty much proved it. How can you go wrong with a name like Snake Plissken and sticking not only Kurt Russell in there, but
you can stick Kurt Russell somewhere.
Adrian Barbeau. Yeah, Lee Van Cleef, who I think probably he stole that pipe from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, I swear. He probably did. And of course, you have Donald Pleasance as the president, although it's kind of weird because, you know, British guy playing the American president, but whatever. Yeah, and of course, then you have the Duke of New York. Your Duke of New York, number one.
Isaac Hayes, the coolest motherfucker ever.
Yes. Thank you. I completely blanked out. It's like I'm too tired, whatever. But anyway.
Yeah, I've been there.
I mean, obviously it's like fantastic cult film. You know, go out and buy it. The only problem I have with the Blu-ray release was that Fox got involved with it. And I know for those who've just walked in, MGM's been having a sort of a fire sale with all the properties and whatnot because of this little thing called bankruptcy or whatever. And Fox got a hold of a couple of the properties and decided to sort of cash in on them. The only problem is that they just kind of did a fire forget thing with the film. So none of the extras that were found on like the awesome two-disc DVD that was released in like 2003, I think it was. You know,
I've watched that DVD so many times.
Kurt Russell. The commentary, you know, the documentary, the deleted scenes, none of that's in there. It's like,
that's pretty weak, isn't it?
What's that?
That's pretty weak for a Blu-ray not to have any of that on there.
Well, no,
they'll pull some shit.
Well, the thing is that if you really absolutely wanted the extras from the 2003 set, you would have to go out and import the UK Blu-ray. But the thing is that is just like horrible transfer. I wouldn't even bother with it. But what's here is like, you know, really, it's probably as good as Escape from New York is going to get. I mean, it's not like, I think that Fox kind of like, oh yeah, I guess we can't pull the digital noise reduction crap that we did with Predator. I mean, that was just, if you've seen it,
everybody's shiny. You know what
everybody's shiny. It's like disturbing, but no, I mean, here it's just, you know, it's green, just the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, it's just, go and get it, but if you have the two-disc DVD set already, hang on to it. Let's see, what else have I seen? I've seen Sea of Dust with Tom Savini and Troy Holland and Ingrid Pitt. And for some reason, the cover sort of looks like a cover for a porno.
Nice.
I mean,
are you sure it isn't a porno?
No, it's not quite.
Oh, Sex Machine is in it.
I know, but some of the stuff in there is probably like porn worthy. I mean, like there's like some BDSM stuff in there and everything like that. But the thing was with that film was that Scott Bunt, who directed it, he was trying to, I could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to break from the norm, sort of, and I give him credit for it. But the thing was, is that it, there was so much stuff going on with that film. It was just totally, it was like really almost impossible to keep track of it all. You know, I mean, there was some really good acting in it. I mean, if you wanted to see Tom Savini nailed to a cross and some sort of like allegorical Christ thing, there you go.
Yeah, never really wanted to see that.
Well, yeah. Actually, no, he's like, well, he's actually pretty ripped in that too. If you, and he actually, the other thing was is that they, Scott Bunt really wanted to try and give homage to a lot of the Hammer horror films. I mean, the whole, he really went, you know, extra length to get the sort of the look, specific look of it. I mean, with the Technicolor look, it was really sort of, you know, really nice to see. And then, of course, he thrown in like Mario Bava and even an Evil Dead 2 tribute to it. It was actually kind of neat to see. But I mean, it's one of those films that's like I said, it's kind of a lot. It tried something new and it didn't quite succeed. I mean, it's still, you know, you could give it a shot, I suppose. But I mean, don't be surprised if you're like, if you turn it off halfway. There's so much going on that you can't keep track of it all. Another film that I've seen is Vengeance. Holy crap. This is like, I've seen Hard Boiled, and this is probably as close as you can get to rivaling Hard Boiled or even surpassing it. The Arrows reviewed it. He loved it. And like him, I had no idea who Johnny Two, the director of this, was. And after seeing Vengeance, it's like, now I really want to see more of his films. I mean, it's the big thing about it was that the main character is played by Johnny Halliday. He's probably pretty unknown here in North America, but over in France, I mean, like, he's like the equivalent of Elvis. I mean, like, he's like a singer, he's an actor, and he has that certain look to him that just suited the movie perfectly. And I mean, the cinematography was like so, I mean, it was like, the one scene that I loved was the one scene that involved a shootout, obviously, and it was in a park, and the whole setup, the whole sort of rising to the point where they're going to have the shootout or whatever, and the whole time there's this there are families there or whatever, and then they're going home, and you can tell, like, right then and there, the whole shit's about to go down or whatever, and then, of course, right after, it all starts with the, you know, a guy dropping a soup bowl into the fire or whatever, and then, of course, everyone starts shooting, slow motion, leaves falling, it, you know, it's awesome, put it that way. Yeah.
So, highly recommended, then?
What's that?
Highly recommended?
Highly recommended, indeed.
Sounds pretty cool.
And then, of course, another film that I've seen is Meat Grinder, and this is one of those torture porn films, sort of like akin to Hostel. It's by Thai director Tiwa Mo. I'm totally going to butcher whatever name or whatever, but it's basically it's like a car wreck. Basically, you're kind of like transfixed on the entire film. It's like so, you know, the color, the use of colors, the visual style, the whole shebang, mixed in with like scenes of guys like being hung with meat hooks, like akin to Leatherface.
Yeah, I always hang people with meat hooks.
Or a guy being nailed through, or a guy being nailed to the floor by his fingertips, and then of course you actually see him, you know, extracting himself from these nails, which is kind of obviously hard to see because, I mean, it's like impulsive guy's finger nails. Yeah, it's not a poor film. It's just different. It's kind of like it tries to play out to, you know, the artsy crowd, but also the torture porn crowd.
It's an odd.
And I mean, if you meet it halfway, you probably enjoy it the most. But everyone else on the other end, they're probably going to be like turning it off for, you know, for obvious reasons. It's
the cover has a chick feeding a dude his own eyeballs.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's stuff like that.
Interesting.
And I mean, it's like, it actually reminded me of Fruit Chan's dumpling. It's like that, obviously. Obviously, it doesn't involve something as, you know, if you've seen Three Extremes and you know what dumplings is all about, slightly less disturbing than that. It's more akin to Sweeney Todd, minus the musical parts, obviously. But it's still, you know, kind of difficult to see those parts. But other than that, I mean, it's beautiful film. If you can get past the extreme torture.
Well, I usually can, so.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of what other stuff I've seen. I'm too damn tired. That's the problem. We gotta start these podcasts earlier. But then again, our early is like 4 a.m. for you guys. But you know, I just have to stock up on Red Bull, I think.
Yeah, I think we all need Red Bull because I'm like really tired. It's only afternoon, but that's still, you know, jet lag. And,
anyways,
you know, being on medication and stuff. But I don't know. If you can't think of anything else, maybe Nick can talk about stuff that he's seen recently.
Well, I've kind of already touched on, you know, one of the films that's coming out on Blu-ray finally that I've been waiting for forever to see again is Jacob's Ladder. You know,
which probably won't be out here.
I love the film. It was, what's that?
I said it probably won't come out here on Blu-ray.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm pretty sure it's on DVD there.
Yeah, I think it's in usually the bargain bin for like $6 or something.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just, I love, it was basically just a blind rental for me because I had heard nothing about it other than it was just probably the creepiest thing up to that point. And
from the director of Flashdance.
Obviously. What's that?
I said from the director of Flashdance.
Yeah, exactly. What's scary is it was basically, if you played the Silent Hill video game, it was Silent Hill before Silent Hill. It was that sort of creepy thing. It's like, is the guy losing his mind? Is he seeing what he actually saw? Is he seeing a tail? Is he actually in this hospital with all these weird-ass things going on? It's like that. It was just one of those films that I loved it when I saw it, and I can't wait to see it again in high definition.
Mm. Well, if you get it, you'll have to report back.
Oh, yes. And it, of course, and I'm sure Beat is waiting with bated breath for this, for me to actually get to review Troll 2 when it comes out on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, see, the thing with that is they should have put our commentary on the Blu-ray.
They should have packed in best worst movie with that. I'm sure it probably would have, people probably would have like jumped at it then. It was like best worst movie. And it's like, oh, is that the film? Oh man, I gotta see it. Basically, if you haven't heard of Troll 2 before, I'm pretty sure Beat has covered it several times before. In previous podcasts with Marcy.
We did an entire commentary on it.
Yeah, we did the commentary, which, you know, should be on the DVD release. I mean, the Blu-ray release.
Never mind riff tracks, and just listen to Bede go on and on and on about it.
Well, you can listen to me go on about, you know, my love for George Hardy, who plays the dad, or my obsession with Elliot's eyebrows. Or what else do I, like, obsess about? The peach shorts and the rainbow plaid shorts.
And me talking about my love for Margot Prey. Who's
and, you know, how the Hulk, like, blew his load all over people in that movie.
Oh,
boy.
That's an interesting perspective,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Basically, to sum it all up, just go on YouTube, type in Troll 2, and I'm pretty sure if you've been in and around YouTube and you've seen this video, it's the, oh my god.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Or look
it's up. Right up there with pissing. It's right up there with Garbage Day, put it that way.
Look up pissing on hospitality. No, don't piss on hospitality.
Garbage Day.
Anyway, I think Nick can tell us about what he's seen, because he hasn't had his turn yet, and I feel bad.
My head is about to hit the pillow. No, that's cool. You know, sexy guys go last, and so I'll accept that title. I've seen a few movies lately, one or two in the theater, but I did see Machete. Along with what Marcy was saying, I liked it. I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing ever, but you know, I enjoyed it for the 90 minutes it was on the screen. I also saw George Clooney's The American, and I want to say that the acting was very top notch. I thought Clooney gave a great performance. I thought the cinematography was absolutely beautiful. But it has to be one of the most poorly paced films I've ever seen in my life. Focus Features should be ashamed of themselves for the marketing that they released for this movie. It is the trailer for the movie, if anyone has ever seen it, is the biggest lie of what this movie is about and what it stands for and what the characters do. And, you know, it shows it to be a good action thriller. Far from it. All the action that's shown in the trailer takes maybe 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes of the movie, if that. The rest of it is just George drinking coffee, walking down a random path, driving in a car, banging some prostitute.
Banging prostitutes part was good.
You want to know something? No, it was awkward as hell.
Yeah. Damn.
Like the director is like a professional photographer. Like he did all, you know, some classic YouTube covers and, you know, band albums and shit like that. He's all visual. He's incapable of telling a well-paced story. Everything has to be completely visual. And the movie was just, I'm not going to say it was horrendously boring like some people are saying. Because I thought it was very well done in some regards, but by like the hour mark, I was already looking at my watch. It was that bad.
That's not a good sign.
You know, and it was only about an hour and 40 minutes. It felt like a 3-hour movie. It was getting that bad. I saw that. Saw Shady. I finally saw Casablanca for the first time. Just the other week. That was absolutely fantastic. I don't know why I waited so long to get to it. Yeah, pretty much. Humphrey Bogart, absolute classic. I just definitely loved it. Other than that, though, finally saw Iron Man 2 again.
Yeah, that I watched brilliant. That again as well. I just completely love Sam Rockwell in that movie.
He owned his Justin Hammer. He just ate up every bit of the screen for that.
Yeah, and but, Mickey Rourke's Russian accent was hilarious.
I thought he did want a good my job. Bird. I thought, yeah.
I want my bird.
Tony is.
And the way Sam Rockwell talks to him is so fucking funny.
I know.
Oh my god.
Is that, and I watched Robin Hood, the director's cut.
Oh my god, and the movie's even longer than it already is or was.
Please tell me.
Actually, you know what? I think it's a fantastic.
Huh?
Please tell me you're talking about the Kevin Costner one.
What, the garbage one?
That movie rules.
The one where only one person has a English accent.
I love that movie. Shut up.
You're telling me that you enjoy the Christian Slater version more than this?
Oh my god, this movie was putting me to sleep. It was putting me in a coma. I love Ridley Scott, but this was just bleh.
Oh, I loved it. I don't, you know what? Most people went into it expecting, you know, the actual Robin Hood fairy tale, and I went in not expecting it, and I loved it. You know, that's the thing.
I think that a lot of people were expecting, you know, one thing and came out totally.
Well, I had heard what it was actually about, and I thought, okay, that sounds interesting, but I just thought it was so boring and just And one of the only things I liked about it was like, I forgot the guy's name. The one that was. No, the one of the merry men.
Oh, you like that.
What's his name? I'm going to look up the movie. Shit.
I always forget.
Oh, he plays. Oh, can't even remember who he plays. Let me look up Robin Hood. and then I'll tell you exactly who I'm talking about. Robin Hood 2010.
Yeah, the.
Okay.
The biggest guy.
Yeah, the really big dude. The guy who was on Lost. Yes. Little John. Little John. Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. That's
the only good thing about that shithouse movie, Legion. Ugh. Yeah, he was like one of the only things I liked about this movie, too.
I mean, I haven't seen Robin Hood, but I will say that I love Ridley Scott as a director. I mean, he's directed like so many great films. Even films that really didn't deserve a sequel, like Hannibal.
Hannibal is fucking garbage. Oh.
Hate that movie.
Do you want to know something? You know what? And I don't blame Ridley Scott for that movie because the book is horrible. Because I hated half the characters of that movie. It took the movie in a direction that it didn't need to go. The story wasn't even necessary.
Like you said, as a standalone film, you know, I didn't mind it. I mean, it was a sequel that really shouldn't have happened, but I mean, you know, MGM needed money and, you know.
They still need money.
Well, there you go.
Jesus Christ.
Even still, I mean, you know, Ridley Scott, you know, every director has had, like, a bad film. Every great director has had a bad film. I'm trying to think of what other bad film.
Ridley Scott has done?
Yeah, no, Robin Hood.
For every great director, I'm trying to think of a bad film that Steven Spielberg has done, because I keep on thinking of War of the Worlds, and only for the fact that Dakota Fanning won't shut up in that film.
Ugh.
That movie is awesome,
actually,
but I will not...
I'd say
1941.
I hated that film for two reasons. One, Tom Cruise, and the other, Dakota Fanning. I wanted to boot her so hard.
Oh, no.
I absolutely love that movie. The only problem that I had with the movie, I didn't mind Dakota. Okay, she's a little overbearing at times. I love Tom because he just plays this absolutely idiot father. It was the most realistic depiction of what I would expect from somebody. I mean, it wouldn't be the way I'd react. You know, I think I got a decent head on my shoulders, so I, you know, wouldn't be so fucking stupid as they are. But the only thing I hated about the movie is the fact that the son lived at the end of the movie. It was like, what a jip.
But
you know, he should have fucking, they should have shown him toasting on screen if you want my honest opinion. Runs over the hill.
But this is the thing, Steven Spielberg for you know, and I know, I mean, I'm not knocking him as a director, but I mean, like, there's always like one thing about his films, Okay, two things. I mean, one being that he's all the child actors that he chooses, they're all conform to the stereotype of just do nothing, just whine, scream, or whatever, you know, causing, you know, mm-hmm. unnecessary sort of, you know, problems. I mean, you look at Jurassic Park, you look at
Don't you dare insult Timmy.
Exactly.
Oh, don't you. That's do it. Not the go fit, there, my the, friend.
The
I love
going
okay.
up.
Okay.
The slaves
no,
are going
no,
up.
No, no, no. I mean,
you're
Drew Barrymore. I mean, you know, she's sweet in that, but I mean, it's just like I know, but I mean, like, I know she was supposed to scream, but I mean, it's just like I wanted to jump out of a window. It was just that.
You don't like the
me.
Screaming kids, do you? I absolutely love those two. Because you're gonna expect, okay, they're stupid when it comes to the T-Rex with the light, but you know what kid their age is gonna understand? You know, the thing of it, that was more of an education for the audience. But
I mean,
I thought their characters were hilarious.
But I mean, it was just, okay, get out of an overturned truck and then scream at the top of your lungs. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that works perfectly.
Yeah, but you don't know how kids are going to react in the situation.
Well, I wouldn't react like that as a kid. When there's dinosaurs, please.
Marcy, you're not helping.
I mean, seriously, I wanted some, just at least get her squished. That's all I wanted. That would have made the movie that much more fun. But I'm sort of going off on a tangent here. But the other thing was is that there's always one character in Steven Spielberg's movies that, you know, it's just like drives me nuts. I mean, I'm trying to think of character in Saving Private Ryan, the guy who's just, they're in the village, and he's just on the stairs, and he's just bawling his eyes out because he doesn't want to go upstairs and help out his friend, his fellow
soldier. He's having a breakdown.
That's the worst possible time, though. It's the worst possible time.
Well, it happens. It happens
is
all
that,
the time.
Which character
horror.
Was
Absolutely.
That? Was that the Jeremy
yeah,
Davis
I mean,
character?
Come on, man. It was just like, it was like the most anticlimactic thing to do. I mean, like, his body is.
I got no problem with it. You know what? Like, that is the war, you know, the stress of the war. It's everything, you know, some people went over there thinking that, you know, they're able to kill. You know, looking at a man and killing them, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, the movies make it look so easy. Some people went over there fully intent on fighting the enemy and then realized they don't have it in them to kill people.
Well, I know, but...
Can I just ask something to clarify with that movie? Are you talking about the Jeremy Davis character who, like, is complete chicken shit through the whole movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fucking annoying.
I mean, I
absolutely love him as an actor, but that character pissed the shit off me. Like,
well,
he annoyed
me. Too, but it didn't ruin anything. Like, that's what some soldiers were like over there. Some people died.
I completely agree, but he was just annoying as shit in that movie.
Oh,
but, you know,
I mean,
we've gone completely off topic.
I understand where you're going with that, Nick, and I understand completely, but it was just from the opening scene, which is just like so amazing, and for that to just have that, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's like some people look at that as like, well, you know, that's, you know, like what you're saying is like, that's what happens in war. But I mean, it's like, and that's the other thing. I keep on going off on tangents or whatever. And it's like, you know,
no,
the
and I see what you're saying.
That land on the beach. I'm just gonna stop right now.
We've gone really off topic because we were actually talking about Robin Hood.
We started talking about epic, you know, bad films from amazing.
Yeah,
directors.
But anyway, was there anything else you had seen recently? I get the idea you really loved Robin Hood and the director's cut must have made it better for you.
It wasn't very much different. And okay. Once again, I must reiterate how sexy Cate Blanchett was. And once I get past that, Yeah, so other than that, though, I haven't seen a hell of a lot.
Okay.
It, lately in the theater, those are those have been the last few. But The Town this weekend, I can't wait.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can quickly go over, like, upcoming movies that we want to see. And The Town is definitely one of them, but that doesn't come out here till next month, which I'm really pissed about.
Oh, you guys don't get it till next month?
No. I'm really angry about that. Like, really massively angry.
You just want your Renner.
You need Jeremy Renner.
Oh my God, I'm like so excited to see that movie. Not only that it looks like it's going to be a good movie, but it's got freaking Jeremy Renner and it's got John Hamm in it. And since I've started watching Mad Men, I've become obsessed with John Hamm. Oh my God.
What about Affleck?
Yeah, I love Ben Affleck. Like, you know, I think he's a great director from his one movie that he directed, and I think this will be another really good one.
Ben Affleck.
And also, it's got Blake Lively, and I just love her, so pretty cool.
From what I hear, she gives a really great performance. Mm. Which I've
I know, October 14th, like, we gotta wait fucking that long. I'm so pissed off.
Yeah, that is a while.
The film that I'm sort of intrigued about, just to see what happens, is Wes Craven's My Soul to Take. Only for the fact that, you know, after Cursed, I just want to see, you know, what Wes is able to, you know, to do. I mean, Cursed was
bad.
Well, if you want to know something,
other than A Nightmare on Elm Street, I do not get the big deal about Wes Craven. I seriously don't. I think Scream is one of the stupidest fucking series of horror films of all time.
The four don't the tell Serena up. That. She will, the slaves are going
don't
up.
Don't tell Serena that.
Oh,
don't tell Serena that. She will rip you a new one.
I'm going to send her the podcast just because Nick said that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the first movie, I can barely get through it. The characters are so fucking stupid. It's like, oh my God, I don't know, I can't. The fourth is going to be a disaster. I can smell it. Between the script rewrites, people dropping out, it's going to suck. Yeah, I don't know, I just got this strange feeling about it. But anyway, going off the tangent again. But
yes.
Yeah, Wes created like that, My Soul to Take, it looks like Final Destination with, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't look like anything special.
I got more of a Shocker vibe from it.
Well, if it's anything like Shocker, it's got to be brilliant.
Although, probably, hopefully, like remaking Shocker for the better, hopefully. Yeah. Although, it's the first film that he's written. I mean, the first film that he's actually written, like, from a script that, I mean, he's directed from his own script since, oh, I can't remember. When was the last time that he directed a film from his own script? Probably the People Under the Stairs, I think.
I don't know. I can't be bothered looking it up.
Was Red Eye?
Did he write Red Eye?
Oh, yeah, Red Eye.
Yeah, he directed Red Eye, but he didn't write it, though.
No, he didn't. Kyle Ellsworth did.
I forgot about that movie. That was pretty good.
Well, he did that on Curse.
Yeah, Red Eye is not a bad movie, although it does have two pretty hot leads in it, so.
Okay.
You like The Killian?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually, New Nightmare.
Oh, yeah, he totally wrote that, yeah.
Yeah, that was the last
film he wrote,
which that's the last film he wrote, which he also directed. Mm. He's written other things, but he didn't direct them.
All right, can I ask you guys this? I think it comes out next month in the US, and who knows when it will come out here, but since it's been playing at the film festivals, it's been getting rave reviews, and some people are even saying it's better than the original film. And that's let me in. So what are you guys thinking about that now after it's, you know, been shown with the audience? The Canadians both want to talk at the same time.
Okay.
Just for the record, apparently it comes out the same day as The Town does here. So.
Oh, there you go. You get a double dose.
We're seeing two films in one day.
It's good for different reasons. Like, the original film was, you know, brilliantly done for its own reasons, and then this one is apparently done well, but totally not what you'd expect to be, and I'm kind of, you know, it's basically, it's getting the good reviews for being what it is, rather than being a remake, which is kind of nice, but I mean, if you're, it's, I suspect that it's probably still going to divide people, especially those who've seen the original, who still think that probably there shouldn't have been a remake in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, from what I'm hearing, like, I don't know, people are saying it's better, like, it understands things better, but it just seems like, I mean, just, like, even from the trailer, it just looks like almost a shot-for-shot remake.
But you know what, and that's the thing, like, I am an absolute diehard fan of Let the Right One In. That movie, I remember sitting there for, like, a solid 10 minutes after the credits ran, I just had to reflect on how brilliant, like the shock of the final scene plus the relationship and everything. But anyway, at first when I heard that the movie was being remade, I was like, fuck off. I want nothing to do with it. It's going to be like the fucking Quarantine to Wreck, you know, that type shit. But then they said Chloe Moretz is cast as the girl, you know, and then they said Richard Jenkins is the man watching over her, and all these things started to build up, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to give this movie a chance.
And Cortez as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And they're actually saying that the relationship and the chemistry between those two are better, like is better than the two in the first. And I have such a hard time believing that.
Yeah, I guess you got it's something that I guess we have to see, but
I will see it.
You know, I kind of, I haven't read the book, but I think, I don't know if I was talking about this with Bede on Skype the other day.
Yeah,
but
you did.
Yeah, there was something in the novel about the character of the girl that was in the novel, but it wasn't really, like, mentioned in the film. And I'm wondering, they kind of hint at it, but I don't think that they would have done this at all in this film, but you know, adding that aspect when you look at Let the Right One In, it kind of changes it a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
But now I'm curious to read it.
Yeah.
Oh, you
guys, I've seen some clips from the film, and it looks amazing from what they've done, especially with Richard Jenkins. That they've really expanded the role of the guardian.
Yeah, I'm hearing like this is one of his best roles ever. So.
And he's an amazing actor. I'm so glad he's finally getting his due, you know?
Actually, if you want to see a really good film with Richard Jenkins, I think it's from a few years ago called The Visitor.
Great film. I love that.
That is so worth checking out.
Amazing movie. Yeah. That was the one he was nominated for.
Yeah,
I think so. And he deserved that nomination, too.
Yeah, I cried watching this movie.
I actually can't wait to see Let Me In. Like, I'm a huge, like Nick, I'm a huge, huge fan of Let the Right One In. And when it was announced that a remake was, when it comes to remakes, I want to be open-minded. I'm more open-minded about it than most people. Like, I'm one of those, I'll wait and see. Like, I'll see the trailer and the pics and all that first before I can make a judgment on it. And when I first saw the first trailer, I thought, like, it looked good, but it was kind of awkwardly done because they had, like, rock music over it, and it just was kind of didn't mesh well with the visuals. And then the second trailer came, and I was sold on it. And now with all these reviews, I'm really looking forward to it. And I don't think it's going to be as good as the original. I mean, the original is just a masterpiece, in my opinion. But I think it's, like, when it comes to remakes, I think this is going to be one of the great remakes, like, up there with the likes. So if it's as good as I think it's going to be, I could probably put it up there with the Thing and The Fly and The Ring and
Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, all those great remakes. And I'm really glad because, like, nobody's really talking about it, but I'm really looking forward to see what Cody Smith McPhee, who plays the Oscar role in this movie, but he's called Owen. He's a terrific young actor. I've seen him in two films, the other being The Road, which he was terrific in, and also an Australian film called Romulus, My Father, which he was absolutely amazing in. And I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Eric Banner in that movie, and he just out-acted him in every scene, and he's an amazing actor, and he's definitely going to go places, and he's one of the most talented young actors I've seen in a long time, and I can't wait to see how he does in the role. And from what I hear, he's amazing in the film as well.
Well, it's just like what Chris Pumphrey said, you know, Chris at the Toronto International Film Festival, I wish I could have gone, but too busy, but he basically eliminated all my worst fears.
Yeah.
And he said they kept the material fresh. They did a lot of new things. It was basically Matt Reeves' interpretation of the story, and that made me very happy.
Mm.
You know, whereas with the, you know, frigging Quarantine and, you know, the remakes of the Wreck movies, it was basically exactly shot for fucking shot.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm watching that.
Oh, well, I didn't mind the Quarantine remake because Quarantine actually, like in the first half of it, before they go off to the motel and all that,
I love
the relationship with some of the characters and all that, and I actually enjoyed it. Like, yeah, the second one, both Wreck movies are awesome, and Quarantine, it's actually a really solid remake. It's not as good as the original, but it actually is able to catch much of the intensity of the Wreck films.
I wanted to push Jennifer Carpenter down the stairs. I'm sorry. I wanted to push her down the stairs.
Yeah, I've heard she's really annoying.
I wanted to push her down the stairs.
Well, she screams a lot in the movie.
Well, I know, but I wanted to push her down the stairs.
I thought that movie was such a waste of her talent because, my God, was she ever good in The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh, yeah, she's amazing. Oh,
yeah, and she's really, like, not so much season one, but in the rest of the seasons of Dexter, she's been really, really good.
Especially season four. She should have got an Emmy nomination.
Yeah, she should have, definitely.
Yeah.
You guys are going to hate me. I have yet to watch one episode of that.
Yeah, you definitely need to get onto that shit.
Nick, get off your ass right now. Go down to the video shop and rent all four seasons of Dexter right now.
I need to. I mean, I think the person who has intrigued me the most to see it is John Lithgow.
Oh, yes, you definitely.
It's worth watching three seasons just to see him in season four.
Okay, yeah. John Lithgow, okay. I mean, sure, I'm sure he's good in it, but I mean, obviously I haven't seen very much of Dexter at all. Obviously, I know Beat, I'm sorry. But the fact is, I mean, like, the one episode that I did see him in, he's naked in the tub with I can't remember who it was, but, I mean, every time I look at him, it's like, I see this creepy old man. Sorry.
It's supposed to be just creepy.
I know, but I'm creepy, like, old man for almost 20 years. I know, but I mean, every single film I see him in, I mean, see in Cliffhanger, I see him, like, I don't see, like, a really good villain, I just see a creepy old man who's a pedophile. I'm sorry.
He was awesome in that movie.
Yeah.
Fucking money.
Can I cut in, because I was going to bring up another movie.
You may.
Yeah. There's another movie coming out, but I don't think it's got an Australian release, but I think it's October 1st for North America, and that's the Facebook movie, The Social Network. It's been getting advertised a lot. And
I'm there.
I am pretty sure that if I see this movie, I'm probably going to want to delete Facebook. The trailer just makes me think I'm just going to hate Facebook because that guy just comes off as such a dickhead and I want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, but if you gotta remember, but the thing is, it's a biopic, so it's not going to be 100%.
Well,
factual,
yeah,
so.
But you know, I think what's his name, Jesse Eisenberg, whatever. I mean, I think he's a pretty decent actor, but you know the way he plays Mark Zuckerberg, I just want to strangle him.
Marcy, you want to understand something? That is exactly what Zuckerberg is like.
Well, that's the idea I get.
He's
so
an eccentric asshole. That's all he is so eccentric. You want to listen to his interviews. He comes off, and I'm sure it's not his fault. He just comes off as a fucking intelligent asshole. Yeah. Completely. And that's one of the reasons I almost have no interest in seeing the movie, despite the fact that I live and breathe David Fincher. I love this man.
This is such a weird choice of film for him.
And that's exactly how I feel about it. And I will still see the movie, and I'm still looking forward to it. But I know the story of how Facebook came out, even before, like, I've read most of the book that the movie is based on. And it's a good book. but I honestly just don't give a shit to see the story on the screen. I just, there's nothing interesting about it. Okay, he stole, you know, the concept for MySpace, and he made it better. And there's lawsuits that surround it. That is all there is to it.
I think, to me, what's interesting about the film, like, yeah, it's going to explore, like, how he stole Facebook, but I think it's really more about a story of somebody trying to losing all of his friends and all that by getting his way to the top. Like with Andrew Garfield's character, because he's supposed to be the co-founder of Facebook as well. I can really sum up what the themes of the movie is. Like, you don't get 500 million friends without making a few enemies. And I think that's what the theme is going for.
But it's like, well, no, wow. But that's the thing. And it's trying to say, you know, money and greed corrupt people. Well, no shit.
Yeah.
The guy is 26 years old now. Like, this is hardly his life. You know, this is a span of time that, you know, will explain almost nothing about how he is now.
I'm just thinking, you know, why the fuck didn't I invent Facebook so I could have all that money?
I know.
Where did that dickhead get all the money? Anyway.
No, well, sort of like, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's like Facebook, and I think of, like, Jimmy Wales, who is the creator of Wikipedia, and he's a huge asshole himself. I mean, like, it's kind of funny how, like, all of these, you know, really innovative things
come from assholes.
Yes, exactly.
Eric Roberts said it best. You know, money, it allows people to be the true assholes that nature intended them to be.
Yeah, pretty much. just in closing with our little, you know, upcoming movie discussion, I'm going to just quickly mention, these are, like, you know, still a couple of months away, but some movies that I'm still looking forward to. There's Harry Potter, of course, but I don't want to talk about it because I'll get upset because it's the end of Harry Potter. But I'm looking forward to Danny Boyle's new film, 127 Hours. And
same.
It's going to be quite interesting to see James Franco cut off his own arm.
Spoilers, Marcy.
But it's known because that's what happens.
I know.
I want to see Kate Mara all wet. I'm looking forward to that.
Actually, you know what I want to see really back to Social Network? You know what I really want to see most about that movie? Rooney Mara acting.
Yeah, seriously, she was so bad in A Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Apparently, from what I hear, she's in Social Network?
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I hear, her perform, like, somebody saw it and, like, some, like, it's on Slash Film. They said, I wasn't a fan of Rooney Mara, but after watching the film, I can see why she got picked for the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake. So she must have a really good character in there or a really good performance, but
But anyway, I'll go through some other titles. There's a new Naomi Watts and John Penn movie, Fair Game, which looks interesting, but it's...
Yeah, especially given the director of the movie.
Well, today it's been directed by Doug Liman, so it could go either way, but, you know, he's got a pretty good cast.
I thought it's fantastic.
So, yeah, interesting.
I want sequel to Jumper.
Well, you're not getting one.
Only with Jamie Bell.
Yeah, you know, please.
Jamie Bell was the only good thing about that movie.
Yeah, seriously. Here's one I think that Nick would be looking forward to because it has his warrior woman in it. The new Tony Scott movie, Unstoppable, which also has Denzel and Chris Pine.
I think that movie looks great. Everybody's like, "Oh, fucking Tony Scott!" Fuck off! It's awesome.
It looks pretty good.
I love it.
It looks fun. It looks fun.
Yeah.
It's gonna. You want to know? Sorry, babe.
I was gonna say I don't think it's gonna be like his best, but I think it's just gonna be as fun as something like a Deja Vu, which I thought was a lot of fun as well.
You know what? I will be in line for any Tony Scott film, and I'd actually be in line more for his films than Ridley. Tony has never, other than Domino, which kind of pushed the limit for me,
I love Domino.
I hated Domino, and I hated Man on Fire.
I love Man on Fire. That's awesome.
Oh my fuck. Man on Fire is like a gift from God, as far as I'm concerned.
But no, that was like a gift from somebody who wanted to kill me.
Oh, come on, it had Christopher Walken. But
so it was such a bad fucking movie.
But it had Denzel Washington in it.
I don't care that it had a bum bomb. It was so crap.
Oh, that was awesome.
But it's Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington does not make bad films.
He made that one.
Back to Unstoppable.
Unstoppable looks very cool. Love it. Tony Scott is the king of action. He knows how to put together one hell of an action thriller. And Chris Pine and Denzel together is just. I've been so looking forward to seeing Chris Pine in another flick after Star Trek, and they look like they have great chemistry. And like Mark. As he said, my warrior woman is in it. Therefore, the $10 is required.
Well, so, in our case, it'll be like $17, but, you know. But what about...
Well, let's go. Let's go on Tuesday. Tuesday is cheap.
Yeah, we got to go on Tuesday. I'll just mention a couple more titles. I mean, everybody's going sick over Skyline, but I don't know. I just wasn't that blown away by the trailer.
I like the trailer, but the cast just does not tickle me.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it'll Faustino, be one to see.
Like, all I'm thinking of is Scrubs every time I see the trailer. Hey, it's Turk. 1-800-CALL-TURK.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what else is coming out. There's like a new Paul Haggis movie with Russell Crowe, but I haven't seen the trailer, so I'm not sure if that's going to be.
Yeah,
looks pretty wild. That actually looks pretty. The next 3 days.
Yeah, the next 3 days. I'll have to watch the trailer.
Watch it for Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. There's
the Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, she's in it too. There's not, you know, for like other movies. I'm not really sure what else is coming out, but I did see a trailer for Conviction, which is the Sam Rockwell, Hilary Swank. Movie which looks really good. I think that's like a December release or something.
His Oscar.
Please, somebody like give him a nomination. That man is like genius.
I got a couple
because he was robbed for Moon.
Oh my god, that was like the worst abomination of all time.
What was
Moon?
No, she meant, but not him getting nominated. That's what she meant.
Yeah, like you know the non-recognition. At the awards time for Moon was the abomination.
Marcy, you almost lost me there.
Excuse me, Moon was like my number one film of 2009, so shut up.
Thanks, son. I love you.
You better.
But, yeah, I always...
There's a couple of movies I'm interested in seeing. A film I'm interested in seeing is... I've heard... It's getting a mixed reaction... figure looks really intriguing. It's called Never Let Me Go, which has
Carey
Mulligan, Keira Knightley. Yeah, and from what I hear, it's getting a mixed reaction. But I think based on the plot and the trailer that I saw, I'm really interested to see it. And also, based on the reviews, because it's getting stellar reviews, The King's Speech, which from what I hear sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, I was going to say Black Swan.
Oh yeah, Black Swan, definitely.
Oh yeah.
I don't know when we'll end up getting that film, but I hope we don't have to wait.
It probably won't be out till like January, February or something.
Well, I'm looking on IMDb and it's saying 20th of January, and I say fuck that.
Yeah, well, I think we get it December 1st or something.
Yeah.
So like not too much earlier, but. Aronofsky, man, holy fuck, that guy just knows how to do it.
Yeah.
He's found it. I think he's better than, like, even Paul Thomas Anderson, you know, like, am I getting them mixed up? Or is it Wes Anderson? Paul W. the one that is not married to Mila Jovovich.
I figured that's who you were talking about.
I think they're very different directors.
Yeah.
is.
I don't know. I
see. Yeah, one doesn't lie to your audience.
Yeah, one doesn't piss Pat off really badly.
That's true.
I think another movie I forgot about, I think it's coming out, at least North America later in the year, is that Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale fighting movie. I think it's Fighter.
The Fighter, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. I just would really like a trailer at this point.
And
shouldn't be with the vlog.
And I mean, I'm hearing the worst things about this movie, but hopefully with, you know, it getting fixed up, it'll be good. And that's the Tron Legacy, but also the fact that Michael Sheen's in it. So
where'd you hear bad things about it?
Everywhere, pretty much.
I've heard
from what I've read, it's really to do with the lead, Garrett Hedlund. Apparently he's really terrible in the movie, and they're actually trying to either cut down on his performance or try to add new scenes with Olivia Wilde to make up for his shitty acting.
Oh man, she would look so hot on IMAX 3D.
I am not complaining about that that particular aspect. That
would explain why.
Tron get a Blu-ray release after the... Well, it probably will, but, you know.
Yeah, it probably will.
That would be so disappointing to find out that movie sucks. I would just break my
heart. Yeah, I haven't heard the best things, but, you know. I mean, hopefully it'll be fixed by the time it comes out and, you know, we can enjoy.
I'm surprised. I've heard absolutely nothing about this, and I'm usually, you know, pretty, you know. Well, cover. I didn't hear anything about
that. I'm surprised Joe Blow hasn't really covered it, because other sites have.
I've heard nothing about it. I don't know anybody who has.
Well, the thing is that I think that a lot of the buzz was from the leaked Comic-Con trailer, which was, you know, pretty awesome to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, it's like not much has been said.
For me, that looks like the Avatar of 2010. Like, it just looks wild, but...
I'm just thinking Michael Sheen in IMAX 3D.
I'm thinking Olivia Wilde.
You know he's in the trailer, Marcy.
Michael Sheen. I didn't really pay, like, attention enough to see him, so I'm going to have to watch it again.
He's the guy who looks like David Bowie.
Yeah, he's the guy who's, like, wailing
looks like David Bowie.
Okay, I'll rewatch the trailer and be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm just looking up on IMDb now. A movie I'm looking for. I only saw the trailer for this the other day, and I think it looks pretty awesome. It's actually an Australian film called Red Hill.
I've heard a bit about it.
That's Ryan Kwanten, and it just looks pretty awesome. It has this, like, John Carpenter-esque quality to it that looks pretty awesome.
Mm. He's got a movie coming out soon.
Speaking of John Carpenter, I mean, like, The Ward, which I'm interested in seeing it, if only the fact that, you know, it's been the first John Carpenter film in, like, close to 10 years. I mean, the premise is kind of like, but I mean, you know.
It's John Carpenter.
Exactly. And I'd like to see, I hope it gets a wide release. I mean, I know it's on at TIFF. The Toronto International Film Festival, but I'd like to see it.
But I'll see it anyway because it has Amber Heard in it, and everybody knows that.
Well, yeah,
I'm totally in love with Amber Heard. So
now,
I mean, like, let's have Ice Cube in there with Natasha Henstridge.
Yeah, let's not mention that movie, please.
Yeah, well, okay.
Statham, I think, regrets every single second of that movie. That was, like, the biggest misstep for him.
The less said about that movie, the better.
Now, before we finish up, now, come on, guys. We all know that the movie that we're all looking forward to.
Looking forward to.
Licking forward to. Smurfs movie.
Looking forward to. No, I'll chop my head off before I see that movie.
Actually thought the teaser was kind of cute.
You're weird.
fucking kill me, but I am.
Marcy knows why I'm looking forward to this movie.
It's all about the blue people.
Katy Perry is perfect.
Oh my god, you're going to cream your pants.
But I know, Marcy, you're looking forward to Yogi Bear, so I guess
Why am I looking forward to Yogi Bear?
Yeah, yeah, looking forward to Yogi raping his son based on that.
That was like the awesome poster ever. The most awesome poster
I don't get the joke.
Is it just me, or does that one poster look like Yogi is raping Boo Boo?
It does.
I mean, like,
I did some parody taglines for that, and it's every single one of them worked because it's like, it literally looks like he's freaking cornholing him. Like, it's absolutely hilarious. It's like, you wonder how we get it so fast, yet the people for the studio can't fucking see it.
I don't understand. Which, you have to show me the poster.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Basically, it's the upcoming movies of...
Because the one that I'm looking at has Yogi lying down and Bobo is just resting on his stomach.
No. There's blood.
That's the afterglow.
Yogi Bear's Yogi's face right behind his son's.
Okay, I'll try to look it up.
Both got these giant smiles on their faces, and it looks like Yogi is doing the deed to the boy from behind. Okay.
It looks like, and of course the tagline doesn't help. It's like, great things come in bears.
Yes. Great things come in bears. That's right.
And it's just like, and of course, then underneath is coming through, and I'm just like, oh man, how could you not see this?
Yeah, this is really disturbing.
I think one of my taglines was protecting the forest from top to bottom. I think that was my,
Anyway, we're going to have to kind of wrap up the podcast because it's gone on a bit long.
And don't forget Harry Potter.
Yes, Harry Potter, which is going to kill me because it's ending.
And for the horror crowd, Saw 3D.
Oh, fuck that shit.
I'm there. Yeah. I'm there. I don't care what anyone
says. I am there to piss on the screen. I am so sick of that shit.
I'll join you with doing that, although I don't know how it's going to work with my female anatomy.
That would be an absolutely hilarious.
I'll just piss on the crowd.
Even before that, funny you should mention piss on the screen. Jackass 3D, it comes out October 15th here in North America.
I can't wait. How can I forget about Jackass? I can't wait.
Even before that, the remake for A Spit on Your Grave comes out the week before. coincidentally, when My Soul to Take comes out. As well, along with a bunch of other
curious
films.
To see that remake.
You know, from what I've heard, it's pretty good. I liked the new updated poster that they had. Well, for obvious reasons, for them having the balls to basically tackle this remake. I gotta give them that. I'll see it, but I'd have to see the original first for a refresher.
If you rewatch the original, but rewatch it with the director's commentary, because that pretty much just puts everything into perspective. And the thing with the remake is, I'm just hoping that they don't miss the whole point of it. But I don't know. Just wait and see, and make up my mind when I see it.
And everybody else has to remember the Coens have another movie coming, True Grit, in December.
Okay.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, I'll try to wrap this up now. I wanted to quickly mention about the Super website that I've started a new section on the website, which is called Spotlight On. And basically, I'll just be writing about a specific subject for a few weeks, and for the first session of that, I've decided to put the spotlight on Jeremy Renner, and
for obvious reasons,
not just because he's completely hot. I think he's a really good actor, and I am really just not impressed that I've only just discovered him with The Hurt Locker, even though I'd seen him in other movies. And just
have you seen
SWAT? Realize it. Yeah, I actually watched it yesterday again.
He was the best part of it.
I mean, he was awesome in that movie, and I don't know how I didn't remember him in that movie. So, I think SWAT and a few other, like, supporting roles is what I'm going to be talking about next. But in the first part, I've discussed The Hurt Locker and Dharma, which he's both the lead in both of those movies. And I'm hoping that once I finish this part of the thing, that my next spotlight on, I want to try and do it on David Lynch, which is probably going to kill me. So I'm going to try rewatch all of his movies in order and review them for the segment. So
you got to talk about his watching movies on your iPod segment. One of the funniest ever. How can you watch a movie on your fucking telephone?
Yeah, but yeah, I'm hoping in a few weeks that's what I'll be doing next, and hopefully it'll be up for discussion on the podcast. Maybe we'll see, but yeah, and I think that's a wrap. Hopefully in the next few weeks we can finally do the edition of our favorite DVDs and stuff, because I wanted to cover that, but we just talked too much, so that'll have to wait. So
well, the other thing that we've kind of been planning on is having another sort of DVD commentary. That is that right?
Yeah, well, there's a few that we want to do eventually.
Masters of the Universe,
that is one of them.
That's always fun.
But because, like, there's so much interest in doing that, we have to find the right time, because there's going to be so many different time zones. So that'll be in the works, but hopefully, you know, in the next couple of months we can actually do that. And
we also have to reenact the room.
Yes, at some stage I will reenact the room in the role of Denny.
Probably Denny.
No.
But
oh, please, yes.
Anyway, I'll try and wrap this up quickly and say thank you to the three of you for joining the show for the big 4-0 episode, which is why we're allowed to run a bit long. So basically, until next time, I've been awesome and the rest of you guys have been terrible.
Excuse me, Marcy, but I'm the only terrible
one. Yeah, Bede's terrible, and Pat's bad, and yeah, Nick's just Canadian bacon, so... Yeah.
And I am the law. In the law.
20 years.
Okay, and Pat is now Judge Dredd.
Damn straight.
We should do a commentary for Judge Dredd.
And for the record, I don't remove my helmet. I don't remove my helmet.
Carl Urban is going to be awesome.
Alrighty. Manages to get so off topic for like, you know, in 2 seconds. All right. Again, I'm going to say goodbye. Adios. Ciao.
Later.
See you, everyone.
Times have changed. Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fight and curse. Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada. Blame Canada. For the media. Don't blame me for my son Stan. He saw the darn cartoon and now he's off to join the clan. And my boy Eric works at my picture on his shelf. But now when I see him, he tells me to fuck myself. Well, blame Canada. Blame Canada. It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along. Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
They're not even a real country anyway.
My son could have been a doctor or a lawyer, rich and true. Instead, he burned up like a piggy on a barbecue.
Should we blame the matches? Should we blame the fire? Or the doctors who allowed him to expire?
Heck no!
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
With all the hockey on the phone and that bitch I married to.
Blame Canada!
Blame Canada! Oh, the smoking must stop, the trash can fetch, the leopard bomb must all be undone, we must win.